Hit it. You tell me when we're going to talk about one.
We already own one.
You want to go to two?
Who's on first?
Oh, God. Here we go. This is going well, folks. This is what happens when we have to do take two.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Help Me with HIPAA. I am your host, David Sims from HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Card and Compliance. The listeners don't know this, but this is take two.
We're having technical difficulties. Yeah. We can't just put that up on an episode when it's pre-recorded. This is why we don't do it live.
Yeah, so... Well, what about 13 minutes in, everything just died.
Yeah.
So, I went away.
Yeah. David, you know, I can't manage a whole thing without hearing some smart comment from David. And I was like having a conversation with myself. It was, here we go, take two. Let's try this again.
So we are going to dive into some topics today. We're going to look at, I think, 19 different things that you can do to... make sure that people who access your systems, your employees, business associates, and such, people who have authorized access are not doing anything that they shouldn't be, because you don't always have to look at the malicious or the intentional problems like hacking and viruses and malware and all that. Sometimes those things can be the effect of somebody who has access and they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, or to click on something they shouldn't be. And like I said, that may or may not be malicious. It's just things that happen because it's the people.
There you go. That's what we say. It's the people.
Exactly. So there has been some recent bulletins and tips that have come out on that. So we're going to cover that in today's exciting episode.
We do our best to make HIPAA exciting, people. It's a challenge. That's David's job. But... This is all based on a memo that came out August 1st that OCR published. You know, it doesn't make headlines because it's just telling you how to do things. It's not $5.5 million like recent kinds of settlements. But it has like real things to do. And everybody says, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then when we tell them what they're supposed to do, they're like, well, I don't want to do that. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but in order to have security, security is not convenient. That's what we have to say. Every time it gets frustrated, security is not convenient. And the insider threats, according to the memo that they pointed out, you know, it's whether it's malicious or not, you know, intentional, whatever, it still makes a big mess. And we're probably going to hear later about some guy named Bubba, David, that accidentally, I didn't mean to cut that line, turned off
didn't
the
mean
hole.
To do it the first time.
Didn't mean to do it the first time, man. But your entire area lost internet.
Yesterday, it did. So, yes, as I'm trying to walk out the door of the office, everybody comes running in like the place is on fire. The internet's down. So you've seen the commercials probably where it's like 5 minutes after internet, yeah. You know, 10 minutes after internet, people are going nuts. So it took a few minutes, but the phone started ringing. Of course, we have voice over IP phones, so they didn't ring because they were down. So my cell phone starts ringing.
Oh.
And I have the voice over IP app on my phone. So as long as I've got, you know, Verizon service, you know, it'll still pull in my phone calls. So my phone's ringing and clients are like, the internet's down. Can you come help me? I'm like, no, it's down for me too. It's down everywhere. I got in touch with somebody who had some insider knowledge and they said, it's down all over the place.
So you have a single internet service provider in your town area. Mm-hmm. And they went down. So there's a reason to not have a monopoly on something that is the backbone of all business today. You got to have redundancy. You know, in the dictionary, under redundant, it says see redundant. That's Robin Williams' line from way back. But anyway, you're probably going to hear that that was some sort of unintentional, we hope unintentional, event by people. People
the
somewhere.
The dark overlord.
It's always the people. They'll make a mistake. And you know, you can't not be human. But at the same time, the malicious, intentional mistakes, those are the ones that this memo is specifically targeting to say, if you have a malicious insider, then you're more likely, well, clearly it's a malicious insider because they're doing things that are wrong. Otherwise, they're not a malicious insider, right? Mm-hmm. So it starts with a definition by the Computer Emergency Response Team, US CERT. I think that's what it stands for. Otherwise, it sounds good, right? If you, mm-hmm. you know, when you get an acronym, find something that makes sense, use it, have confidence. But they define a malicious insider threat as a current or former employee, contractor, or business partner. So one of those who has or had access to an organization's network, system, or data. And I particularly like that line because it makes it clear with all those people who said, I'm not a business associate because I don't access the data. I just have control of the network and all the systems at an administrative level.
Right.
You know those people, right, David?
Yeah, that's like saying, I can't change the channel on the radio, but I have keys to the car.
You don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to do that.
I'm good. I don't need insurance.
So it is clear in that statement that you've got things to worry about if you have access to the network, system, or data. And has intentionally exceeded or intentionally used that access in a manner that negatively,
Say that again.
I have a hard time with that. Negatively, I have to separate them. Negatively affect the CIA.
Confidentiality, integrity, and availability.
Of the organization's information or information systems, going back to the previous point. So, if a malicious insider does something that affects your ability to access your internal systems, you know, that's part, you know, if somebody does that inside on purpose, that makes them a malicious insider. So there you have it. And according to a survey that involved U.S. Secret Service, CERT, CSO Magazine, Deloitte, most common e-crimes are committed by insiders, unauthorized access to or use of organizations' information, which gets us to, you know, the ones where they're involved in a lawsuit. You know, there's the one where the pharmacist, her husband is involved in a lawsuit with his ex-baby mama, and the pharmacist looks up her records and gets her medications and then uses that in the lawsuit. I mean, it's like crazy stuff. So you never know what's going to happen with that, or you've got them stealing it for like identity theft and those kind of things. Exposure of private or sensitive data. We don't have to go any further than the Facebook post. It's Facebook, people. It's not reality. The No Mo Hoes group. Installation of viruses, worms, or other malicious code, which... you definitely don't want somebody that on purpose installs those kinds of things. And then theft of intellectual property, which if you're a software company, those kind of things, big medical offices, I don't know, unless they're doing research. So there is the thing that's defining what is a malicious insider and the things that they do and most often you should be worried about. So then the memo goes on to say, here's a whole bunch of stuff, and they give you a two-sentence paragraph telling you about all the policies and procedures you need to create and that you need to do screening of the individuals. So there's a lot of policies and procedures, and you know when we did our discussion on policy and procedure templates, David, and you were talking about how you sat down in front of that, I've got to write a policy and procedure, and it was a blank page.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to write a policy and procedure to mitigate the possibility of theft, sabotage of systems or devices, fraud, enforce separation of duties and least privileges, applying rules that control and manage access, configuration changes and authentications to information systems and applications that cremate PHI. Could you hook that up?
Sure.
So, yeah, you need to spend a little time with that paragraph. That paragraph alone could take you a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, just to make the list of what you need to do. And then they go on to this, you know, how to do background checks, you know, some sort of screening, and trustworthy and appropriate for the role. I think that's key. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but sometimes people get jammed up and they're so ready. I just need somebody to fill this position if they remotely seem okay. I'm going to bring them in. And then they're inappropriate in so many ways. You know, you have the person at the front desk that spends more time on their phone and acts like they're, you know, so, you know, bothered by the fact that you walked up to the front desk to ask a question. Or, you know, just a minute. Like,
hold on, there's a Pokemon right here. Don't move.
Or they put their finger up and then take a call on their cell phone. That one's the one that just, you know, makes
Or take a call, period. Yeah. You know, don't get me going down that road. I think if you got somebody standing in front of you, they take precedence over the stupid phone ringing.
Well, you know, and the people who say, just a second, please, and they pick up the phone and they say, you know, this is the office, because they're responsible for answering the phone if they're at the front desk, and they say, you know, so-and-so office, can you please hold? And they put them on hold, and then they deal with you. I'm fine. But don't take their call completely, you know, unless it's an emergency. And, you know, when you work in medical, you kind of have to deal with that sometimes, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, cardiac care or pediatrics or any of those, even psychiatry. I mean, I've had, you know, I think I've told that story before. In the middle of a call, somebody had to hang up because a dude in like January in Iowa had walked in a bikini. A woman's bikini, sat down like it was no big deal. He's freezing to death. I need to look into this. So then there's that 19 elements of what US CERT says you need to do to protect EPHI from insider threats. All right, David, there you go. Hit the 19.
Hit the 19. So we'll start with number one. How about that?
Yeah. It does better than random. Yeah. You know, we'll lose our place.
Exactly. So the first one is to consider threats from insiders and business associates in enterprise-wide risk assessments.
And I think that's key, is business associates. You know, we talk about trust but verify. Here's a reason. Just like you verify, people will do background checks on their employees, and then just because a business associate tells you, yeah, we got this, and we're HIPAA certified, and we signed the BAA, we're good to go. No?
No.
Are you distracted more than today?
No, I'm going down the list. I'm ready.
All right, you're ready to go to number two. You don't want to talk about them. David would like to read the list, and then we're done.
Well, we got 19. We can't spend a whole lot of time on each one.
Okay. Hit it. You tell me when we're going to talk about one.
We're already on one.
You want to go to two?
Who's on first?
Oh, God. Here we go. This is going well, folks. This is what happens when we have to do take two.
So clearly, document and consistently enforce policies and controls is number two.
Yeah.
You're not going to talk about it. Okay, number three. Incorporate insider threat awareness into periodic security training for all employees.
Okay, so those two together, well, actually all three of them, go back to different episodes that we've had. One is, you know, trust but verify and policy and procedures. And if you didn't document, it didn't happen, a security awareness training and building a training program. Mm-hmm. So the good news so far, David, of the first three, we've talked about them before.
Well, yeah, we talked about most of them before. That's where they get their stuff from, is listening to our podcast.
I know you insist that's happening.
But this, you know, the training, we do talk about training a lot and how important it is. So I'm glad that we did make the top three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 19th one, don't worry about it, but the top three. All right. So let's move on. We don't have much time.
Number four,
Beginning with the hiring process, monitor and respond to suspicious or disruptive behavior.
Yeah. Now, what do you, you know?
What do I consider suspicious and disruptive?
Well, if when you join that, 4 and 5 go together, though.
Oh, 5. You didn't tell me that. Anticipate and manage negative issues in the work environment.
It's because I read them, David. So the two of those go together. It's one of the conversations I just had this week with a customer. We were talking about, you know, they don't worry so much about their insiders. You know, there's only so many of us and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, here's an environment that's going to happen. You know, mm-hmm. you've got children and their father is married to another woman. So not their mother, the stepmother. Their mother is married to the stepfather and all four argue over what's right for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying for what? I mean, that happens all the time. You yep. know, happened yesterday at your house, I'm sure. Somebody did with all those children.
Look at him.
So the suspicious or disruptive behavior, the negative issues in the work environment, imagine that you have those children's medical records somewhere, whether you're a business associate, which is what we were talking about, or you're you know, connected to the practice in some way,
mm-hmm.
so that you have access to this information. Or, you know, it doesn't even have to be the kids. It could be any number of things, like the pharmacist that's looking at the drug information from somebody else. If someone is involved in something like that, and you'll see the disruptive behavior and the negative issues, because they're going to bring down the whole group. It always happens, right?
Right.
Happens to you. It affects your environment. You need to pay attention. You can't just say, oh, that again, and I got to get my work done. That could be part of your work. So don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready to deal with it. So there you go. There's 4 and 5 added together.
Very good. Number 6, know your assets.
I know that's killing you, isn't it? Just to say it.
I'm leaving it alone.
Yeah. But that goes back to our episode on, do you know where your PHI is?
Mm-hmm.
And how important it is to identify all of those and medical devices. Where we talked about making sure those are on your risk analysis.
And those unencrypted laptops that are somehow always unlocked cars.
I know. What is the deal with that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully that's better.
So number 7, implement strict password. Now here we go. Go ahead and put a caveat in here. This is the most complained about thing we see in IT. Implement strict password and account management policies and practices.
I'll let you hit that one. You just go ahead.
It's just the whole password thing. You know, every time I do this, I get people just, they complain. Why does a password have to change every 90 days or 6 months? Why can't the password be something easy? I've got 15,000 other passwords and I can't remember another one. Why can't I write it down and stick it on my monitor? Why, I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Or has anybody got the password list? Can we have the password list?
Yeah.
Can somebody go get it? Really? Oh, no, it's in that spreadsheet. It's in Dropbox.
Yeah. Or even better, you know, I'm working on a computer for a client. I'm like, I need you to log in here. Oh, there's no password. Just click it. Just click log in. Or what? Okay. Or everybody's password is their name, and everybody knows everybody's passwords.
Yeah. Yeah. Create anyway. Something. Yeah, it's always entertaining. Yes.
So. So number 8, enforce separation of duties and least privilege.
Some people may not understand what that one means. You go ahead with it.
If you ain't got no business in there, you shouldn't be in there.
But not just, you got to enforce that and only have access, you know, everybody's like, well, we have the ability to do that, but we just don't worry about it. That's a lot of things to set up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you should be setting it up.
Mm-hmm. Number 9. Define explicit security agreements for any cloud services, especially access restrictions and monitoring capabilities. So this is where the IT part falls in.
Mm-hmm. They're talking about the cloud services because, mm-hmm. you know, I can throw that stuff up to the cloud or I can give somebody access to the cloud. You know, a lot of things can happen in there.
Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with the security agreements, this kind of goes beyond the business associate agreement, but if you're dealing with somebody who's monitoring your systems or dealing with your data or whatever,
you know, some of the other things you need to think about too is, you know, are they enforcing some of these policies that you have? So if your IT company, if you're a, you know, private practice or something like that, and they've, let's say they've got policies set up where your passwords have to be reset every 180 days, but your policy says it needs to be every 90 days, then they're not gonna jee-haw, as we say.
You know, that's a major disconnect that happens a lot of times is you'll see you go in and they're like, well, let me see your security policies. And then they pull them out and the IT people have no idea what they say.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not going to work out really.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Because from the IT side, we come in and say, okay, our policy is that our clients are going to reset their passwords every 90 days, but that might not be the client's policy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to work within that as well. And, you know, there's a lot that goes on around the policy of the passwords and how often they can change and the complexity, and then even how often they can reuse a password.
Well, and you also have to, when you look at cloud services and applications, you have to work within what their features are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's also, you know, something to pay attention to is that you can have a policy, but if the application doesn't allow you to enforce that, how are you going to enforce it? And that's what I think this is saying is you better make clear what you need to enforce.
Right. So number 10, institute stringent access controls and monitoring policies on privileged users.
And a lot of people don't think about that.
Yeah. So who would be a privileged user? Are you privileged?
When I get to make all of the rules, then yes, I am. The biggest issue would be when you have people that have admin rights to be able to set up users and all those things to just assume that their life isn't going off the deep end where they might want to be able to make bad decisions. You know, you can't do that. You've got to be able to ask the questions. So the only privileged user that doesn't get watched after should be the owner. And even then, got to ask some questions. You know, there's cases of companies where, you know, like multiple vice presidents got together and stole all the data and left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not unheard of.
I've had it happen with some of my clients a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Two partners were splitting up and one of them stole all the patient list and data and everything else.
Mm-hmm. And because they had the authority to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So just because, you know, you got to make decisions and enforce some of these policies and don't just, you don't have these things in place because everything usually goes right.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. So to tell me you don't have to worry about it, most of the people where that happened to them, you know, that's just like a, you know, I tell people, if 2 weeks ago I told some of these people they should worry about it and they said, nah, they wish they had listened to me when it goes sideways on them. So,
yep.
Carry on.
So number 11, for some reason this first word always makes me think of you, institutionalize system control changes or system change controls.
Institutionalized.
Thank you, you heard Thomas say that.
So, what does that say to you, though?
What about you, institutionalized, or the system change controls?
Hey, I write you letters every time I go in for a while.
So that would be anything that you have change-wise within your system should be the same throughout your organization and be able to track and audit those.
So you're saying when they say institutionalized system change controls, that any time you have system change, you should control it institutionally?
That would be what I'd say.
Control it at the top. Don't let all everybody at the bottom decide how these things are going to be implemented because it could open up holes. That'd be a nice way to say it.
I like the way I did it better, but anyway.
Yeah,
so number 12, use a log correlation engine. That's funny. Or security information and event management, which we lovingly call a SIEM device.
SIEM.
A SIEM. To log, monitor, and audit employee actions. And there's different ways to do that. You can do that from a, you know, network device level. You can do it just strictly within your EHR application using things like Sphere. So there's definitely ways to do that fairly easily these days.
Cheers. And it is one that you're supposed to do. It is in a line item under HIPAA that you're supposed to do it. And everybody says, well, how am I supposed to do that? There's a million ways to do it. You're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not looking, then that's when, you know, the biggest problem, and like when we talked about how people find the breaches, statistically, we learned they find it by somebody doing an audit. Somebody finds it mm-hmm. by actually auditing what their, you know, the activity is. It's not like you're either going to find it when the FBI calls you or the police walk in or reporters walk in or somebody finds it in an audit. That's almost always how it happens, you know? And yeah. if you only got one good option there.
Well, we've talked about this before too, that, you know, you get a lot of times you get the information you need to see the problem, but nobody's looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
indeed,
look at the audits. So, number 13, monitor and control remote access from all endpoints, including mobile devices.
Now, there's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about mobile device security. We've talked about all those kind of things. Is it good? We just keep, you know, we've done all this. Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Except for the real techie ones, which we assume people don't want us to do.
Yeah.
We get in enough trouble with what we have. So when we say endpoint, we mean it is a device that has access to the network or the data.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things could be getting you in trouble.
Right. PCs, laptops, mobile devices, mm-hmm. anything with remote access.
Yes.
All right. Number 14, develop a comprehensive employee termination procedure. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
You're fired. Nah, it's not my favorite, but yeah.
Well, you know, that's one that you see a lot of times they'll do, like in an audit, they'll say, give me the checklist that you completed the last time, you know, the last five employees that left or all the employees that left in the last 6 months or something like that. That, again, is a requirement under your HIPAA laws, is to have a plan and to build that checklist. And inevitably, when we have people with that check, we even have our own internal one, and we've only had to use it like once, maybe twice. But there's stuff we add every time where we're like, I can't believe we didn't think of that. You know, it's like, yeah, it's simple little stuff, but you have to have it down in a checklist. And so many people are like, oh, HR handles that. IT handles that. Somebody better handle all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there needs to be a master to make sure that everybody's doing their part.
Right. Very good. Number 15, implement secure backup and recovery processes.
Secure.
Secure backup.
And recovery.
So what, you knew where I was going with that. Because a lot of people have backups, they just don't test them.
Yeah, they never had that problem.
They don't know if they work or not.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the secure backup, that would mean, especially in our world of HIPAA, you can't just choose any backup provider nor any backup option. It has to be something that is compliant and secure and meets all the regulations.
Yeah, we go in all the time. We say, well, we back up to these hard drives and somebody takes them home. Are those encrypted? Is the backup encrypted on there? Blink, blink,
blink. What? So
that's key too. But the reason that you need that is in case a malicious insider does some damage, you can get it all back.
Yes. Which in some cases, like ransomware and things like that we've talked about, that might be your only way that you're going to get your data back.
Mm-hmm.
Number 16, develop a formalized insider threat program.
Which is kind of, I guess, saying take this list and put it in a policy and procedures.
It's like, hey, it's a whistleblower program, you know?
A formalized insider threat program.
If you see an insider threatening, please let us know.
Yeah. And the next one, I have people often ask questions when we say you're going to set what the baseline of your device's functionality is going to be. And they're like, why do I care? That's number 17.
Yep. Establish a baseline of normal network device behavior.
And why do you do that?
Or you don't know if it's abnormal until you know what's normal.
Hey.
We've established that I'm normal.
No. Far from it, my friend. Far from it. But that's why, because if you don't have here's a standard, then how do you know when something's not working right? You know, because if people will just click. We know this. People doing their job, they're just going to click. Just click on through, keep working. If I can work, I'm going to keep working is what people do.
Clickaholics.
Mm-hmm. Or if I can get to Facebook and my email, that's all I need, you know. Well, we had plenty of people tell me that. But that means things could be going wrong behind the scenes, and because they're not told what it should be doing and to alert people, no, I can get my work done. I didn't care. I've had so many people tell me that. Why didn't you say something about this? I can get my work done. I don't care.
It didn't affect me.
I don't care. I can get my work done. I got to go. All right. So proceed.
Number 18, be especially vigilant regarding social media. Talked about this before too.
Yeah, several times. We've talked about this with the nerdy nurse and with
Janet
the
Kennedy.
Get social media lady. And we've talked about it on our own HIPAA horror stories. It comes up all over the place because social media is such a major leak.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's another thing is way one of those people that had been stealing data, they caught them because they're posting pictures of themselves at, you know, Cinderella's castle on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there is another reason to monitor social media to see if people are doing things. And you're like, where'd you get that money? Because I know what I pay you.
That's true.
Yeah. There you go.
So number 19, and finally, number 19, close the doors to unauthorized data exfiltration. That's one of your big words.
I know. I love that word. Exfiltration. It's like, have I infiltrated the gang? No, but I've exfiltrated their data. So, and when you say close the door to, there are tools that are on business class firewall systems, universal threat management tools that work and monitor for, you know, things that look like something's moving out when it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And ways that you can put this, you know, intrusion prevention, data leak management, all of these things, is they're out there on these business class firewalls. Problem is, people don't want to buy them because, well, you know, I can just go get this. It says Netgear small business.
Do they say Soho, it like that?
Soho. That's good enough. You know, those aren't going to be the ones that we're talking about. You have to have a subscription to have software that's running on them and it keeps it up to date with all the things that are happening. So that's what they're talking about.
And looking at that too, you can, you know, use the one on number 17 where we talked about the baseline of network behavior. You know, if you're seeing a, you know, massive amount of upload data all of a sudden, that means stuff's leaving.
Well, and that also goes back to the, you've got to be looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, I mean, if you're not paying attention, these things are going to happen. And to assume that you understand and you know what's going on in all of your employees' worlds, you know, the cases where you have an employee, they weren't a stellar one, but they weren't stealing stuff. And then they get new friends or whatever that say, hey, let's do this. And they have, for whatever reason, they go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have access to all this stuff. You don't even realize what you're working with every day and how awesome it is. Well, crap. You know, that's all it takes. And you don't even know that's happening. So to assume, well, we know about assume. So that's our 19 items. David did a good job. Golf clap.
Yeah. So, kept it all at a good clip.
Yeah.
Very good. So now you have 19 things to work on.
That's right. Well, and that doesn't even count the policies and procedures up there at the top that we talked about. So,
right.
You know, the included, excluded individuals and entities and checking all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But many people have to do that already. But you've got to be thinking about these things. And my guess is something prompted this memo coming out.
Yeah, we'll have that next month.
And, well, you know, they did. They made a point of saying that it was reported by a covered entity that one of their employees had unauthorized access to 5,400 patients' EPHI for almost 4 years. Okay, well, you know, and I don't remember whether I said that in the beginning of both episodes or the previous one. Take one, take two. I don't know, but I'm bringing it up now because that's probably one of the many reasons that this memo came out from OCR.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving you guidance. They're telling you you should know these things. All we have to do is find the time to pay attention, right?
Right.
Well, we've done our part, David.
Yep. I've paid attention. I'm done.
We've at least said you should be thinking about these things. That's all we can do.
Yep. That's all we can do. We give you the information. What you do with it is up to you. So that's our show for today. Another one in the can.
Another one hits the can.
Yeah. So head on over to iTunes and rate this show. We appreciate anything that you will give us. Peanuts, 5 stars. We'll take it all. We work for that.
And if you don't listen on the podcast, go to the website, Facebook page, any of those kind of things. Hit us up on Twitter. We're starting to get people interacting with us, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool.
Because David doesn't watch.
No, I don't look at that. I will not look at your Twitter. Stop asking.
That's enough for today then.
So head on over to our website at helpmewithhippa.com and check out all the cool stuff we have for you there. You can also leave a question right on our front page, and we may feature it in a future podcast episode. So for Donna and myself, remember, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhippa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.